Nothing will keep us from controlling that satellite, especially you.
Then it sounds to me like it's time to rumble.
Indeed, but it is you who will take the
tumble.
I'm sorry, hon, but did you just sing that?
Of course I did. Wait, yes I
did. I'm sounding shrill against my will and cannot stop this singing.
And in my ears I swear I hear a quite distinctive ringing. This silly game is very lame and someone's going to pay.
An unknown force, but where's the source that has us in its way?
Who is doing this to us? And on this we must concur.
They're dastardly, despicable, disturbingly inexplicable,
and
resistance to my charm now ends when I belt these power chords.
Good guy. I actually don't know when we're supposed to come in on that, but it's the Music Meister. It's fucking awesome, man. Hey guys, welcome back. It's October.
Rocktober.
Rocktober, you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe show. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Guess who's back?
Danny.
Hello.
I was going to say it again. Danny.
Yeah, that's Danny. Rousing. Rousing introduction.
Hey, man, how's it going, Danny? Welcome back to the show.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Back again for another week, sir.
Yes.
I've been sort of like I don't know if you ever watched this. You know me for a long time. And you know how much I love Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
And it's just been this past month, that I've really gotten into a show that I thought I would never get into, but Batman Brave and the Bold.
Now, why did you think you would never get into it? Because I mean, it has this title, Batman, in it.
Well, you know, there's a thing about Batman has to be dark, right? And he has to be,
not bold.
Or gritty. Yeah, he's not. Because I got really mad even when they announced, like, oh, Batman's going to be more colorful with the Joel Schumacher one. That's the first thing that hit my head.
Is that Joel Schumacher the one that was like, it's delicious?
Yeah. And,
yeah, that type of guy.
So I thought, like, oh, so that's what Batman Brave and the Bold is going to be. It's going to be this big, lighthearted version of it. And I'm not going to lie to you. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but it's got NPH.
It's true. But, like, so, like, I started watching it, and the show is actually pretty freaking kick-ass, man.
You know
it's
what?
Straight up, like, the writing is great, and it's, like, based on, like, this Dick Sprang, like, 60s-style Batman. And they did a musical episode, is what we're listening. They actually seriously went and did a musical Batman, and they didn't just like half-ass it. They went 100% man.
And they even have Neil Patrick
thought,
Harris.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was Dr. Horrible sing-along.
Oh, well, Neil Patrick Harris is
voice
of Music Meister.
Well, didn't he do like was it Nightwing or the Robin, the guy in the blue outfit?
I don't know.
He was NP. That was voiced by Neil Patrick Harris too.
Oh, the, right. Blue Beetle?
No, the Batman's like partner. The one he's always trying to, like, don't help me, but he always does.
No.
Nightwing, or?
Yeah, this probably is Nightwing. It might be Nightwing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might actually be Nightwing.
So, but Brave and the Bold is something that we've just got into, but then once I got into it, I realized that it's done.
Yeah, it's done. It's like one last season's left.
So I'm like, because
this came out, like, in 2009. It's, like, almost the end of 2011.
See, I didn't, like, but part of me wonders, I was like,
that always happens.
I was like, where was I? You know, like,
yeah, you always find out something cool.
I'm like, wait, so this came out like 2 years ago? What?
But Danny, like, yeah, it actually like opened my eyes to just that whole entire actually like generation or era of Batman. Like the, you know, it's those sort of 60s, the sort of like bigger, like the, you know, when Batman was in those giant like torture devices and stuff like that. I used to think that was so lame, but now like in my head, I'm like, actually.
Now
it's
you're like
pretty
I'm the
awesome.
Music Meister.
It's like, I don't know what happened, man. Like it just, you know, I'm in such a darkness with Batman. All of a sudden, there's this complete opposite of like, oh, now Batman can have adventures and stuff. But it's not presented lame. It's actually like really well written. And also,
a few episodes I've seen is pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
But I heard they were gonna do a musical episode, and when I watched it, I was a little apprehensive. But then after I was done watching it, I was sold. I was like, Batman Brave and the Bold's pretty fucking awesome.
And then you couldn't stop singing this all the time. I think that you are like the music maestro.
Sounds kind of like Aladdin right there.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's exact. They went to that level. They had songs that sounded like straight Disney songs. Like they went for
it. I like that. You know the Batman, the Black Canary is singing to Batman?
Yeah.
What is that called? That song?
That
one definitely sounds like straight up Disney ballad.
I mean, there comes a time where you don't need to have a dark Batman, where you can accept both worlds back and forth.
Fruity Batman.
Yeah. So where are we going to be next week, Carolyn?
We're going to be at New York Comic Con.
That's right.
And check curls-studio.com for all the details online.
But also, we have a panel on Friday night.
Yes, on the Friday night at New York Comic Con, I think it's from 6:30 to 7:30, we do have a panel, The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. I hope you join us.
It's going to be, I always believe that's probably going to be the, if not one of the most important panels, or the most important panel for comic book creators, or people who just want to get into the business. The Other Side of the Table, moderated by me, and you know, you're going to be guests, and there's going to be also other guests as well that you can definitely look. We're going to be promoting it like crazy. There'll be a link on our website. It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely...
I'm looking forward to it.
We did one last year, and today this year is part two.
Yes.
So this...
And we have a better time, I think. Last year's was really early on the Friday, and this year's we are doing it Friday evening. So hopefully people will be out of work. Like local people that live in New York that are coming to the show will be able to attend too. So I think that that's pretty awesome.
I always find this is so amazing, Danny. Like, we don't really get invited to do any panels on any other shows. And then we have a panel on, like, the biggest...
At New York Comic Con.
I'm like, that's...
Like, our first panel is, like, New York Comic Con.
It's like, okay. That was such
and then we're back again this year.
That was such a dream for me just to have, like... I was like, I can't wait till I'm invited to be on a panel in New York. I'm like, okay, well, I guess if that's not going to happen, we'll have our own.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, I watch you guys, how you're always going to, like, conventions and stuff, and... Granted, you guys do it a lot differently than how I used to do it, but this used to be my world back like eight, nine years ago, where I was the guy. I always went to like conventions all the time, like,
yeah,
like even during high school, I'd vanish for like 3-4 day weekends because I'm usually going to some convention out of state. But granted, my reasons were always just completely social and hanging out. But that's the kind of stuff where I used to do, and I used to really look forward to conventions. Now I hardly go to any.
Was back then, I'm assuming cosplay was still like that was still.
Yeah, well,
that was hardcore it was, still back then, right? Well, was that still coming up?
It was still very rudimentary back then. So few people did it. I just had a lot of friends who did do it. It was a lot of fun, and I just like hanging out with them. A lot of people hung out with them, and I guess that's pretty much it. I just went to hang out.
Well, also taking it back, you were actually at, from what I think was our first ever comics show that we displayed comics at.
SPX? Yeah, you were the first like, one there looking for Jesus and...
yeah, hipster Jesus.
But it's so amazing because, like, I mean, it, you know, pulling back the curtain to reveal that show, like, I seriously remember finishing up the books, like, literally that morning and, like, stapling them and, like, rushing over to Small Press Expo and, like, setting up the table. And, it, like, at that time, like, I mean...
That's almost 5 years ago, too?
Your first show at any comic show is never going to go as think. And, like, I had no idea what to anticipate. I didn't... It's so... But it's being behind the table on the other side is so different than being an exhibit... Being a attendee. Versus, like, an exhibitor. Like, you think you know, but you don't have any idea. What is it? Like, what is that?
You think you know, but you have no idea.
But you have no idea.
But it's but yeah, it's, like it's crazy
Diary
because like
Krill Studio.
It's crazy because now like these days, or just the past few years, the first time I'm at these conventions is not as an attendee, but like having
like
being
I said,
behind
you
a
guys,
booth.
You guys are doing it completely different from what I do, but at the same time, you guys are all going off to different cities now and going to conventions and whatnot. And
yeah,
I don't even know how you'd be able to do it because it's so much the process from your side as a as an attendee.
Like just the traveling in general is.
I just
rough.
Like the travel, believe it or not. I mean, I took a lot of time, took a great deal of time, like at these cities and stuff to look around as well, and it was so very. The convention was just were always convenient excuses. I just like to travel, pretty much. And travel and hanging out with friends. And experiencing new things with people, with friends.
What type of shows were around back then?
Those were all just anime conventions when I was still hardcore into it back then. I mean, honestly, I don't even go to anime conventions anymore.
I mean, New York is split with the anime
festival.
Yeah, anime festival, which I hear is pretty massive. Like, basically, we're like two different floors. This is like one's happening there,
but like the same admission will let you go freely. To yeah, both. See, that's pretty cool.
I think I'm not sure.
And last year,
I didn't get a chance to journey into that side.
I didn't even. Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't even get a chance to go there. And I've also heard that they have the anime artist alley. And from what I've heard, like, I heard a couple people say that they went there. And no, they said it was, like, amazing.
I don't know amazing
if it's just, like, hype floor, but, like, you know.
If it was anything back, like, what I did, it's, like, the reason it's amazing is because it's fan artists basically drawing existing properties and, like, doing cross-ups or drawing them in sex poses and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's making fantasies come to life.
I've heard of a couple artists getting like certain requests were like
disturbing.
It's almost like, really, why would you even think of this? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I personally have not had any like sexual fantasy requests, but like, I mean, I've had a couple that are like kind of weird, but then like I was just like,
okay.
It doesn't seem weird enough that it like strikes me as like sexual though.
To give you an example, like one of the few conventions I still do go to is Dragon Con. It's a big sci-fi, anime, fantasy nerd.
I heard it's like a giant
convention.
Party.
And how far,
it's a big party.
How far is that really from you? That's not that far.
It's downtown, from downtown Atlanta.
So that's like if we were to have one in DC.
It's like basically like you're going to work.
Yeah, actually I kind of just went there after work on Friday, and you know the thing is it is a big party.
Yeah,
I don't know, since you guys actually try to do some sort of business or try to promote. I don't know how well it would benefit you, but it's still definitely experience. It's still one of the few conventions I go to and enjoyed it.
It's really fun.
I enjoyed it a lot, but I wandered into their like artist alley, or their artist. They have so many rooms. They basically where they're independent artists who are also, you know, trying to make a living or promote themselves and promote what they're doing, and an idea what to expect in sort of like the artist alley and why it's so amazing. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. So you guys remember the Super Mario Super Show?
Yeah,
the cartoon. Carolyn, do you?
Super Show. I don't know, but
there's a Super Mario Brothers cartoon.
Is that the one that had Zelda?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly where we're headed.
With more of like
remember they had the two
games.
Cereals too.
Yes, but.
It's a cereal now.
No, but the thing is, they had a Zelda cartoon, and it was a very distinct style. And basically, one of the pieces of art, I'm not kidding when I tell you this, it is just a fucking sexual fantasy, where it's you remember what Link and Zelda look like, right, Joe?
Yeah, yeah.
It just basically Link and Zelda just flat out fucking
having intercourse right there.
Yeah, but a talented artist
just like
copied that
up.
Style and just applied it into like sex pose and whatever. And I was just like, and
this is for the anime ones, right?
No, this is just like, this is a big sci-fi nerd. But yeah, the anime conventions will be pretty much no different. Same thing, just taking anime and just ruining it.
Do you know what I think is interesting
just
though?
Yeah, like, ruining it.
Honestly, though, this is something that is kind of new to me, is like the whole geek culture, I guess, if people want to label it like that.
Yeah.
Now, let me just say, after observing recently, also, we went to Intervention Convention in Rockville recently. And nerds can be, like, or whatever, nerds, geeks, whatever you guys are labeling them.
I actually think they're two different things.
Well, I don't want to get into the whole what is a nerd conversation right now, but basically, geek culture, let's just call it geek culture, or whatever you want. You can fill in the blank for whatever you want to label it as, but I think we all know what we're talking about.
Yes.
G4
G4 culture,
geek culture. It's amazing though that like they're actually very highly sexual.
Yeah.
But I would have like never
thought about that for some reason.
Like, I don't know why, but I'm just saying, like,
it's American Pie Bandcamp.
Yeah, but
that's exactly what it is.
I still haven't figured it out, but we went... Okay, for example, we went to go see Cosplay Burlesque, which is actually very interesting. Because we're... Like, I'm personally into, like, burlesque, but I've never seen Cosplay Burlesque. And, like, even the host, like, his jokes were, like, really sexual, too.
Lewd,
and it's not
raunchy,
just... Not just a little bit, but usually, not just, like, a little tease. But they were, like, kind of super raunchy.
But also, like, not only that, but, like, usually the hosts of a burlesque show are... Of course, it's fucking straight up raunchy. But when you go to, a Cosplay Burlesque show...
They don't know any better.
Well, no, it's not only that, but also it's like you have to have seen everything.
Yeah,
to
you
get
have
the
to
joke
know the
at the
geek
same
culture
time.
To get it.
Like, there really was a whole section on Doctor Who. And, like, I was like, I know it's a great show, but I really have no clue. You know what I mean?
You have to really appreciate British.
I heard the word TARDIS more than that weekend than any other time, like, and I guess it's like that little machine. Somebody's gonna think I am like an idiot for this. But yeah, the phone booth.
It's the phone booth.
Like I actually knew what it was before I went to the convention, but I've never seen Doctor Who. I don't know that much about it.
So this is one thing we run into now, is like, now there's a question over a cred.
Yeah.
So I honestly feel like I wouldn't call myself a geek. Like, but somebody might label me as one. But
Carolyn, you didn't read JSA number 55.
I don't honestly have the time to keep up with all of it. There's so much.
Solo.
But you know what though? Firefly.
Nork.
Yes, Firefly.
But also like the fun part, at least for me, from my perspective, is like when, because you know, Carolyn gets a lot of commissions, like a lot of times, especially like an artist alley or anything like that, and people would have books and they want specific things. But there'll be times where it would be clearly like we have no clue what's this. Yeah, it's a this character.
Well, that's
like,
why the people that have good sketchbooks actually provide like reference, though.
It's like, we want a Guy Gardner.
Can you draw
Green
all
Lantern.
Of your characters stuff into the TARDIS? It's like, huh?
Actually,
what?
I would like to draw that.
Yeah, well, some of the coolest sketchbooks I've seen are the ones that have a theme, where it's someone is a diehard Doctor Who fan, and like the actual binding of the book was custom made.
Yes.
It is a TARDIS. You open the TARDIS up, and it's every page is it's like the die. It was a die cut book. So everything
that's
is the shape
crazy.
Of a TARDIS, and pretty much everything is Doctor Who related, but it's got like different characters, but the theme of everything incorporated TARDIS into the art. So every page is just various artists drawing something with a TARDIS in it, or them in the TARDIS, or something like that.
Man, if you're available, man, you gotta check out New York Comic Con like once, because really it's
go.
New York
just
is a hard place to go though. I mean, even to fly.
In New
But I would like, love to though.
But it is such a. I mean, I've never been to Dragon Con, so that, I'm assuming that's pretty massive.
No, see, if I go to New York Comic Con with you guys would see me like at the start, and then the next time you see me, I'd be hammered.
No, I mean, no, that's completely fine, because my friend Brian's gonna be there. He always comes with us because he's gonna film a panel, and he's usually like our right hand guy to help us out with stuff like that. And then last year he didn't know. He's like, I didn't know it was gonna be all about this. Like he didn't. That was like
he
his
got,
first.
Like, sucked into,
that was
like,
his
the
first
whole scene.
First convention, like his very
really?
First ever
wow.
like convention. And he was like, "Oh,
it's a great one, though."
He would always come back and be like, "I can't believe I saw people playing LARP outside and like
LARPing."
Like there's like all types of like, but it's also like the amount of people that's just smashing into each other. But now he has a game plan this year. He's like, "I'm going to go to these panels because the panels are amazing." That was like my main reason to go to any.
So I don't even care about panels. I just love the people watch. That's
oh,
really
yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And there's so much.
And then you just go Dragon Con. I used to not like Dragon Con, but then I started drinking. And I get like blitzed hammered, and then it's fun. It's
well,
so
you,
fun.
You can do it in New York.
Now,
man.
Speaking of Dragon Con, we were on this show called the Jellyvision Show, and there's another guest on there, and he was talking about how he went to Dragon Con, and apparently they were having these crazy hotel parties.
Yeah.
And this one in particular, I guess they got two rooms that were next to each other and took down the wall. Literally took down the wall.
Nice.
And then installed a roller coaster in the room.
How the fuck do you do that?
Don't ask me how they did it, but they did. And apparently, like, the people that did it, like, had very little remorse for it, but they just, like, told the hotel, they're like, bill us for it. You know, we'll fix it up, you know, whatever
you need.
We'll pay
for the damages.
But then, like, I guess, like, you know, obviously they probably took a hit from that, but then at the same time, like, they felt grand that
they created this
epic
cred.
They created that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they're known as, like, the big partiers at Dragon Con.
So was there a reason why you stopped going to conventions, or is it, like, is there a change that's
happening? At least at anime conventions, I just grew up. I mean, the crowd never got older. It's like it has to happen to everyone I used to go with. No one goes unless they're working it or running it.
Yeah, I mean that's
pretty much
us,
it. It's like
you,
they don't attend it anymore because they're just too old for the crowd, and that's exactly what I am.
And
it's just like, okay, whatever. Dragon Con, there's no age. I mean, granted, it helps to be over 21 because pretty much everyone else is, but there's no age limit, and it's so much more broad to everyone to tap into their likes and dislikes, and there's typically something for everyone as long as you're into the whole G4 geek culture type.
I'm just gonna label this
pretty much
even
is.
Though G4 basically only has like three shows that people watch.
I mean,
even though Candace Bailey's awesome,
but it is kind of amazing to me though, like, I don't know why I would think otherwise, but I guess I had a preconceived notion that geeks wouldn't be this sexual. You know,
well, there's so much suppression happening too.
But you know what? Because
they can't get with the hotter chick. But there's these chicks here.
And you know what it is too? A lot of like, let's just, I'm just not gonna sugarcoat it. A lot of skanks realize a lot of these nerds have money to blow and no fucking social skills. So all it takes is a little bit of flirting and bam, wink. Sugar daddy.
Exactly.
It's simple as that.
See, and the nerds like it.
Trust me, I've seen.
And as a woman and as a human being, more importantly, like I really don't think I could take advantage of a guy like that.
Oh, but there's plenty of women and guys that are happy to let that happen.
Yeah, I know, you know? I knew like two guys that work for Google. They make money hand over fist. They make more money than they know what to do with.
But don't they know that like a certain girl, if they were playing them like that,
they're easy targets, but the problem is everyone goes to drink too. So now they're inebriated and they have no social skills. So they get taken. It's like, it's almost like women get disappointed. Like these skanks get disappointed because they're too easy to take over. It's like, you know what?
Babes.
I've got a headache. You're too easy.
But also another thing.
Caleb, you get a different experience because whenever you go in the bathroom before the show, you always run into like booth babes or whatever.
Yeah,
your side.
I like it though. It's kind of funny because like, you know, I'll be at the show and like sometimes I'll come to the show in my glasses and then I'm like, I'll set up a little bit, but then I'm like, oh, I'm going to change in my contacts before the show gets, you know, started. I want to look just as good as anyone else. So like, you know, I'll freshen up and put in my contacts. No big deal. But while I'm in the bathroom, there's always at least a handful of, you know, people that are literally booth babes getting ready for their job. Like, you can see them
coming in. I want to do a documentary on that.
I think that's such a great thing. They'll go, and then, like, you know, they'll be, like, sexy nurse or something. Usually sexy nurse, a lot of times.
French maid.
And then they'll be like, can you zipper me up in the back? You know, they can't reach or whatever, so I'll help them. And then, like, I don't know. It's kind of like this camaraderie thing, like, in the bathroom. And then, like,
we even saw SoCal Val there. Yeah, and Lauren from TNA.
I did not see her in the bathroom.
But, though. Like, even there as a booth babe.
Yeah, as a booth babe, SoCal Val. And then I was, like, talking to her about it. And then she's like, yeah, you know. She's like, everybody's gotta have another job, you know. That type of...
Well, you're only paid per appearance on TNA anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
TNA's rules are all sketchy.
It's understandable. And she was also a sexy nurse, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see a lot of sexy nurses in the bathrooms in the morning. But I, you know, like at first I was kind of like, all right, booth babes. But then I'm like, that's true. You know, like that's their job. You know, what else are they going to do? They just come to the show, put on their makeup in the morning and... You know, it
sadly
is.
Sadly, works.
It is.
I mean, it's just.
But it's funny because really, like it's a dingy like convention bathroom. You know what I mean?
But also, I have like I have several friends. I mean, surprised that are like models, and basically that's what they do. It's either they're gonna be a booth babe, or they work promos like at bars and stuff like that. That's just it's part of that cycle.
Yeah, it's a job.
But
yeah,
it's also
a job.
Yeah, it's just
at
a job.
At least they have a job,
and they get to. But then
see, but that doesn't. That's like a little bit different than like are they dating like the geek guys? Like when you talk about like they're the sugar daddies and stuff.
Not like necessarily. No,
I don't think it's like the
booth
babes.
Booth babes don't count as them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not necessarily the booth babes.
These women are different species.
See, so just describe when you try these
to,
women.
But
though.
When you try to talk to a booth babe,
they don't give a fuck about you.
Oh, yeah, but at the no matter how hard you try or anything like that, it'll all just end with like, yeah, and don't forget to check out blah 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 .com. Or take a promo card.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing their job.
Yeah, I always find that so amusing.
The best are the booth babes that aren't really booth babes. They're just like kind of volunteers.
Yeah.
Or like the girlfriend of the guy that's creating the book.
Something like that.
Like, I've seen a couple like.
Like
that.
At Dragon
Wait,
Con,
what do you mean? Like the like a.
They're I don't know. They're not booth babes, but they were essentially hired, or there's a trade off. The bottom line is there's a story at Dragon Con. There's this chick I was hitting on and flirting with heavily for like an hour, because she was at a booth, and she wasn't a typical booth babe. She just. It was like a trade-off. She got a free pass into Dragon Con if she stood near this booth and promoted this thing for like a day. And so we were talking, and the reason it was cool is it didn't end with, oh, by the way, here, take this flyer. It didn't end with that. She's all like, oh, well, I'm on my break. And this is where I kicked myself for being like, hey, you know, can I buy you lunch or something?
Like an opportunity.
I would love to continue to speak with you or whatever. But yeah, it didn't end with the typical, oh, by the way, don't forget to take this flyer in here.
Yeah. But that's the thing you run into, like at least in New York, because there's so many booth babes.
New York is not Atlanta, so they're going to have booth babes.
Yeah, I mean, it's New York, too, like Model Central.
Do you remember that one book I don't even remember the name of it, but they this was which New York Comic Con was. It was a couple years ago. They had fancy tote bags they were giving away for free if you provided like your email address and stuff to them. And remember those tote bags? They were like super nice. And then inside had like a whole bunch of nice things.
Yeah, Comic-Con's the same way. As long as you forfeit a little bit of information, you get so much free swag.
But also like they had a, like, I shouldn't say amazing booth babes, but from far away, they looked like amazing booth babes. There's like five or six of them and they're all dressed like in kind of like, you know, fighting shape. I don't even remember the name of the book, which is sad because they put
it's the whole point.
They're
right?
Octagon girls.
They put so much emphasis on like the booth and like the different things you could do at the booth, and the, you know, they had the girls. Like, all I really remember are the girls, and like, you know, from far away you're like, damn, look at that. But then like when you, I mean, honestly, not to, they were wearing a lot of makeup up close, so it was almost like that's a lot, you know. But like but they had like this thing where you could like put your face in a picture and they'll like Photoshop your head in if you took a picture, you know, stuff like that. Like, and then they print out the picture.
It makes me think
you.
Of those awful like music videos, superimpose your head on top of it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was like. Lame. But I thought it was like cool because the other booths at New York Comic Con, like, I don't think it's to the level of San Diego, but like the other booths at New York Comic Con, like, sometimes didn't have as much interactivity. So like that booth in particular, it seemed like they were doing a lot of stuff. But then as far as like promoting the book, I don't even remember the name of it, and like I've never seen the book since then, from what I remember.
And we should, I mean, like, while we're there, we are gonna have like Magic Bullet too as well.
Yes.
I think we should send Brian out there just to hand it out. He can be his like a booth muscle or whatever.
Yeah.
Gotta get like one of those like Quiznos suits, but
and we're gonna
shape
be
of
in,
a bullet.
We're gonna be in Artist Alley this year.
With big gloves.
You gotta come
like
by, Danny. You gotta come by for one day.
Man, I would love to go to New York. New York's just a tough place to get to.
Do you do you go to New York a lot?
No. Believe me, if it were, I guess, financially feasible, I would go to New York a lot more often. But it's like, you know, a lot of my trips, they're overnight and stuff, and New York's just...
New York's hard to stay.
Man, let's face it. Like, I was looking at the scraping the bottom of the barrel, and there was, like, hostel in Harlem. And it was still, like, $236 a night.
Yeah.
I was like,
good
oh,
God,
Jesus
no,
Christ.
It's seriously, like, the... I haven't done full-on
sleep
research.
Sleep in Central Park, man.
I seriously haven't done, like, full-on research for, like, New York hotels because we are staying with a friend, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, but that's mainly how we survive there.
Yeah, but, like, the, like, $250 is, like, probably the
lowest.
Yeah,
that was the lowest.
Like, and that's for, like, crappy stay, you know, like, you know?
And you
don't
really
unless you want to stay in,
crappy
like,
stay.
So unless you want to stay in, like, New Jersey.
See,
and
that's the thing. That's what really sucks
in.
Because, you can't, or you really can't anymore.
It's
because,
hard to.
Yeah, you can, but it's really not.
It's
by
more
the time
burden,
you're done,
it's more burden than like saving $100. You
well,
know?
See, what
like,
I used to do was when I used to visit, I used to stay in Newark, and then the PATH train took you to the World Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
but it's not there anymore, so I can't really take the train on into the city. Because it would be like a 45-minute train ride, if at worst. Especially if they're like panhandlers and a lot of people getting on and off at the stops. But to stay in like Newark, you could stay in Newark for like $120 a night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the PATH train was like $5.
I remember we had like Carol and I had a plan one day where we're like, well, if we can't find a place, we'll just sleep in the car. Like we'd sleep right in our parking, like in the parking garage, like right there. It didn't come to that, but
yeah,
I've done that plenty of times. It's pretty comfortable sometimes.
I don't know, but see, like as far as like being fresh.
Yeah,
that's
very true.
There's something about being in like a bed,
yeah,
or at least
or like
a place
taking a shower,
or a place you don't have to like hide.
But if you,
like,
I mean, if you have a car though, you can feasibly go stay out in the outskirts of the city as well, even if you have to. But like staying anywhere in like Long Island or in the city of New York,
trying to find parking,
man.
Wasn't
there like one day in New York, like maybe a while ago, like 6 years ago or something, that like the lights all went out and like people had to. No, that
Wait,
was
the
9/11.
Citywide?
That was 9/11, actually.
No. I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember. Like maybe not. Like
no.
Maybe like 5 years ago, they had like
a
massive
blackouts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually,
no, and then people couldn't get home. And I remember it was like people actually had after their work, they had to sleep literally on the streets.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine
really on the streets.
And yeah, because one of my former coworkers had that, and she was working at Simon & Schuster, and she literally slept on the street. But like they had such a community effort, so it wasn't like people were, you know,
homeless people are getting kicked out of the spots.
Yeah, it wasn't like people were, like, you know, being abused or something, yeah. or raped or, you know, whatever, horrible things. People actually were, like, more community about it and be like, yeah, yeah, sleep on the street, and, like, no one stabbed anyone or something. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah, I remember, I had a buddy
the
of mine.
Blackouts, yeah.
I had a buddy of mine who was working in New York, but he actually lived on Long Island, and he had to get back to Long Island, and...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was just, like...
He
managed to get on the ferry... And, you know, the ferry runs independently on their own generator, yeah. So it was packed, because it was a place to get power.
Yeah.
But also all the food vendors, those guys were like Jesuses on carts, on wheels, because they had hot food, and, you know, they were all powered independently.
Independently powered, yeah.
Yeah, independently powered, so those guys loved the blackout, because they ran out of food. They ran out of food, because pretty much everyone bought everything they could, because it was fresh, it was hot, and... You know, readily available, not that expensive. And he lived through it and he goes, man, that was miserable.
I bet, man.
Yeah.
But he probably made a lot of money that day.
Vendors made a lot of money. And the people boating the ferry, the Staten Island ferry.
Yeah, I can imagine that day wouldn't be so swell. But I guess what I'm saying is that that day you could sleep on like the sidewalk anywhere you wanted.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's what people did.
Slum it and get away with it.
I mean, but I don't know if I would want to do that on like a normal day. Like,
yeah, I mean, but if you, yeah, I mean, if I have rough. To, if I have to, I've done it. You know what
on
I mean?
On the sidewalk?
No, in my car.
Oh. I have never slept.
It depends
in
on
my
time
car.
Of year too. I mean, parking garages are parking garages, but still, there's still
shit gets cold. Shit gets cold.
But
real
also,
fast.
It's not even cold. It's just shady.
I wouldn't do it in the summer. I'd rather do it in the closer to the winter than in the summer. Because man, if you're hot, if your car gets all hot and sweltered,
sun comes in.
Yeah, oh, fuck that. But at least in the wintertime, it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
Cold.
And it's I feel
wrap yourself up in a sleeping bag.
I feel like at conventions. There's always that battle of like street cred but I feel like the only cred that we've ever purely have been, I feel like 100% on, and it's so surprising that we've been challenged on this and we've stood by it 100% is wrestling.
Wrestling
cred.
Knowledge. I was thinking, I thought you were going to say wrestling knowledge.
Man. It's so amazing how like you.
But even with that, to be honest with you, sometimes I'm like, am I credible enough? Because, like, I know I can talk wrestling, but I don't honestly know every little detail.
But I remember, because we were just on that one podcast. Now I always forget the
Menagerie of Kickassery.
Menagerie of Kickassery. And you met them because they had a wrestling ring on their stand, on their table. And basically when they discussed the story of how they first met Carolyn. When she walked away, they were like, did we just get schooled on wrestling knowledge by this chick? Because she was talking about CM Punk back then, and they're like, who's CM Punk?
Because I saw their wrestling ring set up, and I was like, oh, I want to talk to them about wrestling.
Oh, so completely kind of related. I went to Dragon Con the first, like, one of the days. I have a La Parca mask.
Oh, yeah?
I was wearing a La Parca mask and carrying around two of my championship belts.
Awesome. You should have held a chair, too, man.
Oh, see, I thought about it, but...
It's too much to carry around.
Yeah, that's a lot to carry, because if I had a chair, I would definitely have carried a chair.
That's what sucks when people have to carry those big-ass swords.
Exactly, that's why I was like, you know what?
It's too much hassle.
The belts I can wear around my waist, but I don't really want to fucking carry a chair around with me the whole fucking day, so...
Yeah.
I was like, the La Parca mask will do just fine.
Did people pick up on that you were La Parca?
Yeah, a lot of... Man, I'm telling you, a place like Dragon Con, everyone knows... Someone's gonna know.
Was it just the mask, or did you have the rest?
Just the mask. That's it.
Do you have the rest of the outfit?
I wish I had the rest of the outfit. Shit, that could.
What is
it? Just perfect
like
for Halloween.
Like a skeleton.
Yeah, I just a skeleton T-shirt and black pants and wrestling boots and bam, La Parca costume.
Damn, because I kid you not, man. Like we've had such a like. Me and Carolyn at every convention, I feel like at least probably 95% of each convention we've gone to have had such amazing. Wrestling conversations, man.
You know, the funny thing is, I kind of feel the same way about myself. I'm like, yeah, I challenge you to test my knowledge of old school wrestling. I at one convention, and this was an anime convention, I just happened to run into a whole bunch of guys, and I don't know how the topic went to wrestling.
It always leads to wrestling.
But these guys, this was in North Carolina, so these guys were like, oh, Matt and Jeff?
Exactly.
No, they knew where they went. They knew where they lived. They knew where they liked to go hang out. And they knew, they're like, oh yeah, we used to help set up the ring and do some taping for Omega. Like their whole like, you know, organization of wrestling acrobatics, whatever the hell that acronym stood for. But yeah, they actually like knew the Hardy Boys. I was like, holy fuck, I can't school these guys. These guys probably know more about wrestling than yeah. I do.
Well, it's crazy how, like, a lot of, like, comic book fans are wrestling fans, too.
And, like, you kind of have to, it kind of have to intertwine it because it's all about the storytelling.
It is. Yeah. And characters and storytelling.
Yeah, what about country music, though? See, that's what I always, like, say about country music, even though a lot of people I know hate country music. But country music has a lot of storytelling.
So, Big and Rich, is there a real guy named Big?
isn't his name,
Well, it's not Big. No, it'd be like Biggie Smalls and someone named Richard. There's Big and Rich.
Big Kenny and John Rich.
Does it say Big Kenny on his license?
I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Then why is this, why is it called
Big
and
Virginia,
Rich?
He's from Virginia, though.
Who cares? I don't care.
I do.
Virginia?
Virginia?
You don't have an accent from Virginia.
Virginia.
But, like, yeah, it's so amazing, man.
But yeah,
it's amazing how, like, the wrestling and comics overlap.
Especially with, like, CM Punk crashing San Diego.
Oh, that was... That moment, I was like, when he did that...
That was amazing.
I felt like...
This episode this is supposed to be about CM Punk.
Yeah, well, we're getting to that.
Yeah, it's all we talk about. So, but see, like, yeah, at that moment,
we can't always talk about CM Punk on their show.
Like, but like the thing is, though, when that happened at San Diego Comic Con, when CM Punk crashed the
he got a paid vacation,
the Mattel WWE panel, I was like, man, this is where this is going. You know what I mean? I was like, I was so
pumped.
Can go
anywhere.
Can go anywhere for doing that.
Yeah.
And they bring it back
next
week.
They blew it. They just blew it.
Like, so were you?
But at that time, it was so nice, though, that those 3 weeks.
To at least have that one little touch of that was great. But, like, just knowing.
When I heard
just
about
having
it,
the champion show up at different places, I really wanted to see that,
I'm
man.
Telling you, they could have done it Ric Flair style and had him off TV till December.
I loved
and
just, when he said that he has Stephanie's number.
I would have, I would have been like, that was great. I would have been happy if he just came back like it. The next time you see CM Punk was at SummerSlam, because like
that's too soon for me. From when the gimmick took off to when like
What was your concept?
All right, so like I said, he completely vanishes from WWE TV, but he goes around the indie circuits and he does exactly what Ric Flair does.
Like goes to like a Ring of Honor, goes to
It could be like that freaking Christian Wrestling Federation.
Glory,
I saw.
Go to Glory.
Just any like
all of them.
Yeah, all of them, and just take their top guys.
Because he showed up at places like he showed up that one small ass.
But he just
with
showed
Cole
up.
Cabana.
I'm talking about wrestling, actually competing on these cards
and representing,
and just like have him either squash their top guy or make their top guy look like $1 million and use every cheap wrestling plot device, like the whole pin, reversal, or leg under the ropes, restart the match, and then CM Punk will, no matter what, CM Punk will always walk out of every little dingy barn arena with the belt.
Yeah.
But in the meanwhile, the WWE would just have to live with it, crown a new champion, and then, like, in December, bam, bring CM Punk back and be like, I'm really the champion, and you're a paper champion because the team needs, or because the Fed needs one. And
just, like, just have him away for
exactly,
a substantial amount of time. A substantial amount of time to make it feel like he is.
They could have had.
He is really.
They could have had CM Punk Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But now they can't. Like, even if they do, it's just it's mid card filler.
And I feel like that's what's wrong with like wrestling these days. At least on WWE, is like just time.
They blew their wad.
They don't want to. I don't feel like they want to invest in time anymore. They don't want to let people like.
It's not just them. It's everything, though.
Yeah, I mean,
just life in general.
It's the modern.
The minute
society.
The CM Punk thing started, I was like, man, fuck The Rock. We have a WrestleMania feud starting right now.
Yeah.
But you know, they don't even talk about The Rock anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I know CM Punk won the belt back.
And he was the one that was like, oh, I'm coming back for you guys, for the fans. And then he hasn't even been
back. I mean, I know they gave CM Punk the belt back. Or, I mean, John Cena the belt back. But has he even mentioned The Rock? Because I haven't even watched. Because that's the whole reason that he needs to be champion is to fulfill that stupid match with The Rock.
And also, speaking of, like, the comic book fans and wrestling and CM Punk, the past, when was it? I guess ever since they've had that CM Punk Best in the World.
The white shirt.
White shirt. Oh my gosh, at every convention we've
been to.
You're
going to see it everywhere.
They're everywhere. Everywhere.
People represent, man.
I got to admit, I'm like kind of unrelated. Well, in a way, it's kind of related, but I got to admit, the people doing like merchandise design, they're at the top of their game right now.
Oh yeah,
like,
they have good stuff.
I used to fucking hate wrestling merchandise because I was like, it's
they
so
look
fucking
so,
lame.
It looks
and
so
like a,
lame.
I don't want a huge face
fucking
of
big,
like,
yeah,
Triple H.
Big Goldberg doing the crab shot. Like that.
Yeah, I don't want a silhouette of Goldberg or him or a picture of Goldberg with his tongue out. Or,
yeah,
that's stupid. But now they're creative, they're clever, they're catchy.
It's clothing.
The
new real fucking clothing.
The new CM Punk shirt.
Herb Karen bought the other shirt before it sold out.
I have an Electro shirt.
I was telling Danny about that one. That's the black one.
The black one. The black and white one. one, not the Nexus one.
Not the Nexus one.
Yeah, and we were specific about that.
Yeah, exactly. Not
so
the fucking
Danny
Nexus
has
one.
That. Danny has the same shirt. I have the girl cut.
I tried. It's sold out, man.
Yeah, exactly. I panicked. I was like, I got to get it now. I got to get it now. mine was in the mail before CM Punk had already done the... I just came to a revelation. I was like, you know what? CM Punk is the best thing about wrestling right now.
Yeah.
And then a week later, he cut that promo. I was like, holy shit. Awesome. Dude, I'm so glad I ordered that shirt now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but that's also hilarious how, like, before that, people were so mad at me for liking CM Punk.
Oh, yes.
Like, literally, like, you like CM Punk.
They,
you're
they
a
were,
loser,
like,
Joe.
Trash you.
Fuck you, Joe. Yeah.
And then the
you
next
like that straight
week,
edge motherfucker? You straight edge bitch?
Then once he cut that promo, everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I like
yeah,
him
I
now.
Knew he was. He had
and
it all
I'm
along.
Like, you, I was like, dude,
was
come
like,
on. Dude.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, we
called
it. Him.
I remember we were watching that Survivor Series.
I was like, I was all copying my hairstyle and beard like CM Punk. People didn't even know. Notice that shit.
I remember we watched that Survivor Series where it was like HBK, Triple H, and CM Punk.
Yeah.
And then I remember you and I flipped out because they were trying to do a DX promo in the
ring.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then they're like, me and my boy CM Punk, and Triple H put his arm around CM Punk. I was like, get your fucking arm off.
Don't try to
gravy train off his momentum.
He's trying to steal his heat, man. He's trying to steal his spotlight.
Dude,
and he did.
So
and he fucking
stealing.
Did.
But even
we
back
knew that was
then,
gonna happen.
Even back then
we knew it.
Dude, even back then we knew CM Punk was something
dude,
really special.
Yeah.
We've been singing his praise for a while. You know, it's like...
And now I'm even more mad that even Triple H is trying to still push it down.
Yeah, exactly. Triple H is...
He knows.
Since the beginning, man.
He has butt-fucked his way into the best, like, best storyline in...
Well, that's what it is.
Exactly. But he just, like, forced his... No, I don't want to talk about
it. No, let's not... Wait, didn't he... oh, no, that was Kane.
It was supposed to be Kevin Nash.
But you know
what? He's all like, no, I'm gonna stick my cock into this great feud now.
You like that? I took
that
out.
The funny thing is that anyone who's like a genuine wrestling fan knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like...
It's an ego trip.
But then if you take it back, like any real wrestling fan in a way knows that like it's almost like his presence is like non-valid. You know, like if you really look into it.
To me, I felt like we need to make new stars. And that was the biggest... opportunity to make your new superstar.
And they blew it. They blew it. They
completely blew it. WWE needs to bring back the ice cream bars, which is CM Punk's new shirt. It's him as an ice cream bar.
But it's also so amazing how because we were going to conventions while this was happening, like this whole transition. So we'd meet people, like even people who work like security and stuff, we would see at the shows. And we'd be like, oh man, you checking out the CM Punk stuff? And we'd talk about it for like 20 minutes.
I don't even know how
before,
we know who likes wrestling.
Before
though.
Capital
That's
Punishment,
crazy.
When Capital Punishment was DC, we had people who were working that and going to the show. And they're like, yeah, this is going to be the greatest thing. And I was like, the only match I want to see is CM Punk against Orton. And like, oh, you like CM Punk? Yeah, I was like, yeah. He's like, fuck CM Punk. And then at that point, then the next show we see them at, after that, they're like, yeah, CM Punk, he's like the best story going up. So you can see people's opinions change.
Yeah, you know, as much as I'm also singing CM Punk's praises, I fucking hate the music change.
I mean, no matter how good, I still love the dun-dun-dun-dun, yeah!
Exactly!
Color personality, or what? Not cult personality, but living color.
I understand. I would have understood if they did it once because they played unfamiliar music when he returned.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that works. But then he just kept going with it. I was like, where's the old music?
I do favor the old music.
Yes. But also like, you know, it is his callback to like the indie days, but still like I really enjoyed when you go like the when you hear like
the twinkling. I didn't time it, but like 40 seconds into CM Punk's music, it has like twinkling stars.
That
like,
near. Yeah, that's what I love too. And then it goes into the vocals.
Usually that part comes in when he's like going up the ropes.
Yeah.
Going in the ropes.
Now
to the ring.
How can they get this fire back, man? How can
they can't.
They've
completely derailed all the momentum.
The only thing they can do right now, like to me, the
you know
next
what,
thing
you know
they can
is?
Do.
You know what it is? It's fucking Cool Runnings.
It's fucking Cool Runnings.
It is fucking Cool Runnings. CM Punk was, he was, God, Darius. He was Darius. And he was all geared up. He had all the fucking momentum in the world.
Is that the Kiss the Egg guy?
No, Darius was the main guy. The Olympic runner, the guy who ran into 9-9.
Yeah. The fastest one.
He was the guy that he was headed to the Olympics, he was headed for the gold, and then like they fucking tripped him. They tripped him And now he's doing whatever. He's just scrambling.
Oh, of course.
He's just spinning his wheels trying to get back to the Olympics.
Because he can't get bigger than Triple H.
Exactly.
You know, like, they won't let that happen.
Do you think the Triple H people, are they mad because they say he held up the WWE to get more money and stuff like that? But I feel like...
You know what? It's a business built on improvisation.
It's business.
Roll with it. Roll with it.
It's the better business decision. What was the better business decision was to let CM Punk rise above that. You know, not...
They just ruined it. I mean, honestly, I got back into wrestling mostly because of The Miz. The Miz I love The Miz going, and I got back into wrestling, and then WrestleMania came along. I was like, you know what, this is fun again. And then I started to shine towards CM Punk because I saw what they're doing to The Miz, and I was like, all right. Well, CM Punk is still entertaining, so I'm going to watch this.
Well, if you're a big fan of The Miz, I say right now is actually the best time to tune in.
I like what he's doing with R-Truth.
Yeah, I kid you not. Like, they've switched.
I don't like when they have to team up guys, though. Because I did like the direction they're going with R-Truth.
Yes.
Because, let's put it this way. My respect for R-Truth was, for the longest time, I just kept calling him K-Quick. But now he's kind of emerged. He's kind of earned the name.
You notice he's always just followed by a letter.
Yeah, R Truth K Quick.
No, I say that the Miz and Truth, they're probably doing the best stuff as a team.
I can see the potential, but I generally don't like.
They did one awesome promo where they basically, like, this was like right after the Miz like did the subway. He did like a subway spot like on the Raw before, and then the next week he teamed up with the Truth and it was the Miz and the Truth, and they teamed up and basically just did a promo on like everybody. At that moment, I was like, these guys they got something right now. You know what I mean? And I feel like from them being fired last week on Raw, it's a firing in storyline, but at the same time, it's an elevation in storyline.
It's a promotion,
and I feel like they're gonna now steal CM Punk. They're gonna switch because they're delivering pretty good shit right now. Like,
I'm glad
The Miz
to hear
and
that.
Truth.
But the whole CM Punk, the way they just dropped the ball, it's like, if I had to describe it, analogy would be like, Joe, did you ever play when Hazard bought that Raw vs SmackDown? When you're playing those wrestling video games and you turn reality mode on, which means there's fatigue.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
How it's like you do an Irish, you bounce off the ropes, but if your fatigue meter goes too low, your character just kind of stumbles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened to WWE. They just stumbled, and it's just like they just can't get that momentum back.
Even
it's a struggle to get back to that.
I even feel that CM Punk even knows that, because even on Twitter he responded like how there was someone that tweeted like, "Oh, it's apparent now that you're being buried. Like, how does it feel to be buried?" He's like, he responded with like, "I got a snorkel in money." So
that's just man.
But yeah, like I say, like right now, I feel like CM Punk's spot is gonna be there, but it's not that moment you had where like, oh my god, something special is happening, because that was getting so much attention.
And you know what? The sad thing is, I bet you they're gonna try again to recapture that worked shoot magic again, but it's gonna feel phony. It's gonna be fake.
Everyone is doing a work shoot
they
now.
Had,
that's how
they had such a fucking golden ticket, and they just flush it down the toilet.
But now that I feel entertaining wise, Miz and Truth right now, it's probably the most entertaining pieces on the show, because now if you have CM Punk do a shoot interview every show, it's, you know what I mean, I don't feel like we're building a story at this point. Yeah, you're building animosity. But it's also like they've already fucked around with the story that he had with Nash and all that.
Speaking of buried, I did catch a match on Monday. It just, John Morrison just jobbed in like 70 seconds to Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah,
the hell?
No one likes Morrison.
Because, I saw Morrison come into the ring, and I saw it was Del Rio in the ring. I was like, this might be a good match. But it just ended so fucking quick. I was like, what the... Who did he piss... That's the thing. We've become such smart fans nowadays that my first inclination...
We, like, know too much.
Yeah, my first inclination is, who did he piss off to get this kind of buried?
I was talking to Carolyn, actually. We were talking about this before. And I think... Is this how you referenced it, Carolyn? You're like, so John Morrison just let Batista sleep with Melina and didn't care about it? Is that how you heard about it?
I forget how I first heard about it, but basically, like, I honestly don't remember, but basically, like, also I heard part of it from you, was that apparently, like, Melina was with Batista, but it might have been just a one night only. I don't know about their personal life or something.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler said it best, keep your women out of the business.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know much about it. I never really even researched it, but basically, like, but then it, from what I heard, like, John Morrison, like, I guess, let her do that. I don't know if she,
and
like...
And then no one respected, me, no one respected
me,
Morrison
like,
after
wonders,
that?
Like, I honestly don't know, like, any information about this, but, like, part of me wonders, like, did she, like, come to him and was like, hey, John Morrison,
open
I just wanna, like, you know, let you know, so, I wanna fuck Batista, can I do that? Like, you know, like, I don't even know if she would even ask for permission first, and he's like, oh, right, that's cool with me.
Speaking of,
you know, like something like that, and then he just like lets it happen, or does like she just do that behind his back, and then he finds out later, and he's just like, oh, I guess
whatever.
I'm cool with that.
That's what
and
I feel like.
In addition, Batista was married,
and also I don't feel like people respect John Morrison, and I, well, you know, he's sort of limited with his mic entertaining mic skills.
Kind of off tangent. When I heard Melina was fired, my first thought was, she's going to TNA and she's joining LAX. Has it happened yet?
No, it
but
hasn't.
But also, okay. In addition to that, Joe told me that Melina still hangs out, like, on... She was trying to get back on set, and then they were like, no, you can't come in.
And they didn't let her...
But
like,
she was with Morrison.
Yeah, she was still on the road with Morrison,
because
they're, like, together.
Yeah, they're still a couple.
And then they didn't... And then Melina tried to get in, and basically...
They barred her out.
Security was like, no, you can't come in, so she's hung out outside.
That's kind of sad, God, dude. That's
man, I really like Melina, too.
You wouldn't like her if you... Did you watch her YouTube videos? You wouldn't like her
really?
That. She's so... It feels like she's just so full of herself, in a negative way.
That sucks. I actually really did like Melina. I like...
Yeah, I know
I had
I know
a perceived opinion about her, based on...
I like AJ Lee better, so... That's just me.
Nobody likes Morrison.
Well, from what I read or what I feel, people don't respect him because they don't think he's a man.
Like, it's the whole, like, Melina basically going behind his back and fucking Batista.
And, like, you know.
Like, how would you feel, like, if your girlfriend went behind your back and, like, did another wrestler? You know what I mean? If you were John Mallon.
And then John Morrison didn't do anything about it.
He didn't fight for it.
Yeah.
You want to hear a backstage altercation.
You want to see Jericho versus Goldberg.
Jericho versus Goldberg. Yeah, the Samsonite Gorilla.
But don't you think, like, it's a little...
We'll think about it. Morrison's like, he's like, what, 6'1", 225, and Batista's a steroided gorilla? Yeah, pick your fight.
Dude,
smart. That's not dumb.
Or get your ass whooped.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. But also, like, you just let your girlfriend do that?
True.
I don't know. Maybe
pull a gun on Batista and get your manhood back. Look, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, there
they have a different type of relationship.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
We actually did talk about CM Punk.
We did it. So, yeah, check out astraightproductions.com, curls-studio.com. We'll definitely be at New York Comic Con next week. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for joining us, Danny.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Danny.
It's always a blast. Hopefully, we can have you again in the future.
Very possible.
See y'all later. Be positive.
I'm the kind of human wreck. Is that your love?